That's the truth. Special child. We're his special sons and daughters. And this morning, just in this last session, I want to give you what I think is one of the most important keys for us to live as sons and daughters of our Heavenly Father. And I want to ask you, what burdens are you carrying? What burdens are you carrying? What are you struggling with? What are some of the difficult things in your life that you face, maybe on a regular basis? You know, so often we think that we have to have it all together. You know, our friend James Jordan says we spend a long time getting our act together. And then he says, well, just remember, it's only an act. So, oh yes. You know, we think we have to sort of have our lives together. And we've been taught so often and sadly so wrongly that having our life together is a good Christian life. You know, we think that he needs us, that he needs our busyness and he needs our activity. And I hope this week you've begun to see that actually he just wants us. He wants that relationship with us as sons and daughters. Very often, many of us will have experienced, you know, being worn out, being tired, just feeling like our Christian life has become a burden. And it's like, oh, you know, where is the life gone? And we read that verse in John where Jesus says, I have come that you might have life and life in all its fullness. And we think, yeah, right. Because we're not experiencing that. And it's like, you know, it's like, why can't we get there? And because, you know, Jesus said, I've come to give you life and life in all its fullness. And he wants us to take hold of that and pull it into our lives. You know, we think that God is dependent on us in some way or somehow, but actually it's totally the opposite. That we are totally, totally dependent on him. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 27 says, God takes the weak things of the world to shame the strong. And we spend a lot of our time trying to be the strong things in the world. And God says it's the opposite. You know, there was one day that, you know, I was just talking to God and he said this to me. He said, Mark, I will bless what you do. And I was so encouraged. I thought, oh, great, you know, God's going to bless what I do, you know, and all the stuff that I'm involved with, God's going to bless it, and it's going to be great. But then he just said this little word, but. You know, I will bless what you do, but. And I thought, do I want to hear the rest of the sentence? And he said, I will bless what you do, but it will be limited to what you can do. And I thought, isn't that so good as a father, that he blesses what we do? You know, the things that we give ourselves to, he says, yeah, you know, I'll bless it, I'll put my favor upon it, but it's always going to be limited to what we can do. And then he said to me, if you get out of the way and let me do it, you will see a greater fruitfulness. And there are times I forget that last little bit about getting out of the way. But that was just a sort of, you know, just something, you know, that really, really took hold of me. That yes, God is so gracious and so loving and so kind, and he really, really will bless what we do. But it's always going to be limited to what we can do. And he said, just get out of the way and let me do it. And then you can come along for the ride. Trevor Galpin, who popped in the other day, he tells this little story of when they had a house in the UK and their kids were young. Trevor was out there cutting the lawn, and he had the lawnmower and he was pushing it up and down the rows. And his young son, Nick, was behind him with his plastic lawnmower, walking up and down all the rows behind Trevor. And then when Trevor had finished, he was just putting the lawnmower away, and Nick ran into the kitchen and said to his mum, "Mum, I've just cut the lawn." You know, how much of that had he really done? You know, he'd just been following in his dad's footsteps. And that's what God wants us to be like. Just following in his footsteps. In Deuteronomy chapter 1, Moses is recounting the story of the Israelites' journey, of how they've been set free and, you know, brought out of Egypt. And, you know, he's just telling them their story. And he says in that story, he says, well, let's read it. Try to get the words right. He gets to the stage of telling them what happened. And he says this, "I said to them, do not be terrified, do not be afraid. The Lord your God, who is going before you, will fight for you as he did for you in Egypt, before your very eyes and in the desert. And there you saw how the Lord your God carried you as a father carries his son, all the way you went until you reached this place." See, Moses is saying to the people, and at this particular stage of the journey, the people are actually in rebellion. The people are doing their own thing. They're going their own way. And Moses reminds them, he said, "Can't you remember how the Lord your God carried you? Like a father carries a son." And he says, the Father has carried you all the way. All the way through Egypt, all the way through the desert, all the way to the promised land. And actually the promise goes forward that he will continue to carry you like a father carries a son. All the way. And my encouragement this morning is to let the Father carry you as a father carries a son. At the end of Deuteronomy, right at the end of Moses' life, he says this. He says, "There is no one like the God of Jeshurun, who rides on the heavens to help you, and on the clouds in his majesty. The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms." See, a moment ago I asked you to think of the burdens that you carry, the things that you struggle with, the difficulties, the challenges, the stuff of life. And we often feel it's a little bit like we're carrying a rucksack on our back, which is weighed down with heavy, heavy rocks. And it's like we feel, oh, isn't it so good that we can take this rucksack off and we can give it to God. And suddenly we feel lighter because all the burdens are lifted. And, you know, the truth is, the reality is that God does that for us. He lifts our burdens. He carries the things that weigh us down. He takes those things off us. But he wants to do something even more than carry our burdens. He wants to carry us as a father carries a son. He's not just interested in carrying your burdens. He wants to carry you And he wants you to experience every day of your life his everlasting arms underneath you and around you. He doesn't want us to struggle on our own. He wants us to rely on him, to rest in him, to let him carry us. You know, we think, like that little picture of Trevor's son cutting the grass, you know, we think it's all down to us. But actually, why don't we just let him do it? And we follow along. We get to go along for the ride. I had an email from Barry Adams last night. I just sent him an email to tell him we'd taken an offering here, which, by the way, was over £1,000. So thank you so much. And half of that's gone to Motor Meoni, and we're sending half to Barry. And I just sent him an email, and he sent me a reply just overwhelmed by the kindness and generosity of people he's never met. But it's family, isn't it? And one of the things he said in his email, he said, you know, that yesterday they took their daughter home from hospital. She's had 27 days of intensive treatment, and now she's got to go back every week, and then every 2 weeks, and then every month for the next 2 years. He said, it is so nice to have a home. But he said this, he said, throughout this, every day of these last 30 days, we have known that we have been carried by our Father. We have known that even in the trauma and the heartache and the pain and the what ifs and the what might be's and the what maybe's, he said, we've just been at peace in our Father's arms. And I thought, oh, bless you. And today is his birthday. So I sent him an email saying, may it be a really good celebration. You know, but, you know, that's what it's like, you know. And they're not the only ones going through it, you know. But it's like, what a testimony. They said, yeah, every day we've known our Father's been carrying us. And that's what God wants to do. He wants to reach down and carry us. In Isaiah chapter 40, it says that God is like a shepherd who picks up the little lamb and holds it close to his heart. And it says that, you know, God is like that shepherd. God our Father tenderly leads us and tenderly holds us in this embrace, like a shepherd holds a lamb. You know, he's not distant. He's not angry. He doesn't judge. But he really, really cares for each one of us. He doesn't hold our sin against us. He's redeemed us, as we've talked about this week. He's redeemed us and brought us back to him. You know, he really, really is a big, big God. But he is still our Father. In both Deuteronomy and Isaiah, we get this picture of a really strong God who rides on the clouds and is all majestic and powerful. But we also get this picture of this great God being our Father and carrying us and holding us and leading us gently and tenderly. And both times in Deuteronomy and Isaiah, the people are in rebellion. This always encourages me. You know, the people are rebelling and doing their own thing and walking their own way. And God comes to them and says, I'm your Father. I want to carry you. I want to hold you in my everlasting arms. And that just gives me so much hope that whatever is going on in my life and whatever I'm doing and whatever I'm struggling with, and however much I'm wandering around on my own, you know, God is still my Father. And he still wants to carry me. You know, we've been brought up in a culture that tells us that our desire and effort is all we need. that activity is good. Being busy is being good. You know, and our whole culture and our whole society is working on overdrive. You know, it's activity and performance oriented. And that's rubbed off into the church. And we've kind of got this attitude and atmosphere of, you know, our own effort, the strength of our own will make it happen and it will be all right. You know, we do have talents and abilities, but what do we do with them? Do they take over and drive us? Or do we just rest and say, Father, how do you want me to use those talents and abilities today? You know, there are good works that have been prepared for us in advance. Ephesians 2 verse 10 tells us that God has prepared good works in advance for us to do. But the problem is we spend most of our life doing everybody else's good works. You know, we don't look and say, Father, which one of all these things has got my name on it? There's loads of things which are good to do, but if they haven't got our name on it, if we do them, it will take us out of that sense of peace and lead us into that sense of performance and our own effort once again. You know, we've been taught that being weak is a bad thing. And that being strong is right. When I was at school, in my last year, I got myself into an argument with one of the other guys. Now, the problem is, well, in boarding schools, well, probably in schools generally, but particularly in boarding schools, if you are good at sport, and if you are academic, you know, you're the guy that everybody wants to be a friend of. And I was neither good at sport, nor was I particularly academic. And one day I got into an argument with one of the guys, and we were both sort of about 18, I guess, you know. And I got into this argument with this guy who was the top athlete of the school. He was the best sports guy in the whole school. He was also one of the best academic people in the school. And we got into this argument and it ended up being a fight, which was really stupid because there was only ever going to be one person who won. And it wasn't going to be me. So we got into this fight, and what happened in our school and probably what happens in loads of schools is when two kids start fighting, all the other boys would form like a sort of a ring around you, like the boxing ring. And they would start cheering for the guy they wanted to win. So we get into this fight, and I'm suddenly realizing I'm not hearing my name. All I'm hearing is this cry of support for this other guy. And it wasn't too long before I was a bloody mess on the floor. And this guy came over to me and he leant over me and he pointed his finger in my face. And he said, "Just you remember." "I'll remember." "Just you remember." He said, "Might is always right." Now, I knew that he was completely wrong. But I did have a little bit of wisdom. I'll remember that. Because I kind of realized that if I argued with him, you know, it would not do me any good. So, but, you know, that's how we've been conditioned, isn't it? Is that might is right, and strength is right, and power is right. And it's like, no. And that's how we've been conditioned in our Christian life, is that to be strong is a good thing. And one of the things I've realized is we cannot get sonships, we cannot enter into this relationship as a son or daughter through our own performance. You know, Eve was cursed in the garden because she tried to get something that was already hers. You know, the Satan, the serpent said to her, you can be like God. The truth was, she already was like God, and she tried to get that through performance rather than resting in the relationship that already existed. She wanted to be like him, but instead of achieving it through relationship, she tried to get it through her own effort. And as we read in Genesis, that effort led to death. It led to the death of relationship between mankind and God. And we know from this week that it actually wasn't her fault, because Adam was right by her side and did nothing to protect her. So, you know, we were both in it. We will become like him by being like Jesus, not through our own effort and striving. You know, we so often think that we're called to have a ministry. I've got to have a ministry in the church. I work on the worship team. That's my ministry. I do the children's work. That's my ministry. You know, I do prison visiting. That's my ministry. I look after the poor. That's my ministry. And we think we have to have a ministry. And like, what is this label that we're going to create over us? But we're not actually called to have a ministry. We're called to be ministers. And that simply means that we take what we have received and we minister it to other people. We share it with other people. And what we have received is this amazing download of love into our hearts that enables us to cry, Abba, Father. And that we enter into this relationship as sons and daughters with the Father, and we live as sons and daughters with the Father. And then what we minister is just whatever the Father gives us. One day that might be to prophesy. One day that might be to teach. One day that might be to do the children's work. One day it might be to do the worship. One day it might even be to do the PA. But it's okay, because we're just living in that flow of the love of the Father within us. And we're just sensitive to what he's doing in our hearts. And Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father doing. You know, our friend James Jordan is sometimes very direct. And one day we were in a meeting, and he said this. He was talking, and he suddenly said, Jesus is incompetent. Excuse me? He said, Jesus is incompetent. You know, and he got the desired effect. He got everybody's attention. And then he said he could do nothing unless the Father showed him what to do. See, Jesus lived his life in total dependence on the Father. And if that's what Jesus did, you know, why do we settle for something different? You know, why do we think we have to do it and strive and perform? And, you know, it's not, you know, we'll give God a hand. When Jesus said, I can do nothing unless my Father shows me what to do. And there's this other lifestyle that I believe God is revealing to us, which is actually the way, the path of weakness. And that's the key I want to leave with us at the end of this week. That weakness is really the power of sonship. This total dependency on Father that says, Father, will you carry me? I'm so glad you want to carry my burdens, but will you carry me? Will you carry me? This I believe is the life that Jesus lived. He lived a life of rest in his Father. He was busy. He was really, really busy. You know, it says in one of the Gospels, if all the things that Jesus did were written down, you know, books couldn't contain it. You know, he was a busy man. So it's not about busyness or laziness. It's about a life of rest, where we allow our Father to carry us as a father carries a son. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9, Paul writes that his power is made perfect in our weakness. And that's something the Apostle Paul learned. Here was a guy who was, you know, the top scholar in his class. You know, he would have been the best student every year. He was really zealous in the ways of the law. You know, and he was so zealous in pursuing this that he was prepared to put all the Christians to death. And then, of course, he has that encounter with God on the Damascus Road. And his life is turned round dramatically. And then, in taking this good news to the world, he's shipwrecked, he's beaten, he's stoned. When they stoned you, they didn't just throw a few pebbles at you. You know, they stoned you, and the intention was that you would die. So Paul had effectively been, I can't remember how many times he'd been stoned, but effectively he would have been stoned as if he were dead. Now, we don't know whether he was actually physically dead and he came back to life again, but, you know, it was a pretty brutal thing that he went through. You know, he was shipwrecked, he was beaten, he traveled, you know, around. He was a tough guy. You know, he was a strong physical man. And he comes to this place where he realizes that actually his strength counts for nothing. But the more he can rest in that place of his own weakness, so the power of God can be shown through him. And that is so upside down to the way we think, to the way we've been conditioned, that it's like, you know, sometimes we just think we need to give God a hand. Like, he's not doing enough, so we better help him out. Well, you can do that if you like, but it leads to being worn out. And Paul says, no, 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 no. When I am weak, he is strong, and the power of who he is comes through that place of weakness. And I really believe that as we allow ourselves to rest in him, allow ourselves to be carried by him, that we will see our Father's power at work in this world. You see, we heard last night from Ingrid some of the stories, some of the things that she's up against in Uganda. And, you know, we've heard for so many years she tried to do it on her own. But then when she came to that place of rest in Father, why didn't you spend a day by the river with me? You know, just resting in him, and, you know, it takes off what they're doing in Uganda. You know, Heidi Baker in Mozambique, exactly the same. Out there for years, striving and working hard, has an encounter with the Father, realizes that all her degrees and training and everything is useless, but learns to be carried as a little girl is carried by her dad. And suddenly churches are planted all over the country. Thousands of people are born again. People are healed. People are set free. You see, the life of rest leads to a life of fruitfulness. Children can be carried. See, I can't carry my kids now. They're too big. You know, they're grown up. And actually, they probably wouldn't like me to do it. You know, it would be very embarrassing if I picked them up in the high street. But, you know, when they were little, I could, you know, I loved to scoot them up in my arms and carry them. And you go for a walk, and, Daddy, I can't do it anymore. Will you carry me? You know, and you put them on the shoulders, and after a little while, oh, okay, you've got to walk a little bit, you know. But, you know, our Father never puts us down. He doesn't get tired or grow weary. He can carry us all the way. That's what it says in Deuteronomy. He carries us all the way. He doesn't grow tired. He doesn't grow weary. He doesn't say, oh, I can't do it. And Jesus gives us a key in Matthew chapter 18. He says, If you want to be great in the kingdom of God, you've got to do these three things. He says you've got to change. The word that's used for change is the word convert. It's a total turnaround. And instead of walking in this direction, instead of living your life this way, Jesus says you've got to convert yourself. You've got to turn right around and you've got to walk this way. It's a radical mind shift. Jesus says if you want to be great in the kingdom of God, you've got to change. You've got to humble yourselves. We're not very good at that, are we? Particularly us guys. But Jesus says you've got to humble yourself. That means you've got to let go of your own pride, your own self-sufficiency. And say, Father, I humble myself. And the third thing, we have to become like a little child. And that's something John spoke about the other night, that childlike heart of dependence on our Father. It was, you know, Jesus often took a child, didn't he, to sort of demonstrate what he was talking about. And he's not saying we have to be childish, but we have to be childlike. Total dependence on our Father. You know, Barry Adams is one of the most childlike persons I know. You hear these people say, I live by faith. But they speak at big conferences and they get honorariums and they get gifts in a sense they do live by faith, you know, and in a sense I live by faith because, you know, I trust God to bring us the clients and all that sort of stuff in the business. But with all the work that Barry and Anne do on the internet, it's all freely given. You know, there's no regular income stream. And yet Barry and Anne have been doing this for 15 years. And they have learned just to be totally dependent on their Father and just to rest in his arms. There's been just over the last few weeks, there's been a fundraising campaign for them and their family in Canada just to help support them through this time. I looked at the page last night and it's raised over $7,000. And you think, you know, they didn't ask for that, they didn't, you know, but someone just started it for them. And, you know, but their whole lifestyle is just resting in dependence on the Father and trusting him to provide. And this whole thing about, you know, weakness being the power of sonship. Weakness is the key to this fruitful life. It comes down to these things, you know, can we humble ourselves? Can we turn around? And can we allow ourselves to have this childlike heart? You know, it won't be easy. People will criticize you. People will say negative things about you. I think it was Velda, did you say last night you learned to say no? Yes, wonderful, you know? Someone once said, you know, if you don't have a no, your yes is meaningless. It's true. But, you know, a lot of people will look at you and criticize you. This is the way you go. But I really believe that as we allow ourselves to be carried by our Father, we will come into the fruitful way of life that he promises us. We will come into this life of rest and peace. And we'll just be pushing our little plastic lawnmower along behind him, going along for the ride. If we really understand that his power is made known through our weakness, his power is made known through our dependence on him, it will completely change our lives. because this is such an important key. I believe that's how Jesus lived his life. This is what he says at the end of Matthew 11 in the Message translation. Are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burned out on religion? If so, come to me. Get away with me, and you'll recover your life. How many of us need to do that? You know, this promise that Jesus gave us, I have come that you might have life, and life in all its abundance and fullness. You know, if we've lost that, we need to recover it. And Jesus says, if you've lost it, get away with me. Come with me. Come and find me. And as you find me, and as you live with me, and as you enjoy that relationship with me, you will recover that abundant life that you've been promised. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Oh, isn't that good? We need a real rest. This isn't laziness. This is the rest for our souls. Lucy sang last night, it was wonderful, you know, it is well with my soul. You know, that's just such a wonderful place of contentedness. It's well. It's all right. It's well with my soul. That's what Jesus is saying here. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me. Work with me. Watch how I do it. There it is again. You know, we just get to go along and watch how it's done. Pushing our little plastic lawnmower. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. It's wonderful. That's Helene's state, you know, that's what she lives in. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. How many of you feel like you got something heavy? Something ill-fitting? Something just, you know, it's just that struggle. Lay it down. Let it go. Because that's not come from him. Keep company with me, and you will learn how to live freely and lightly. That's how I want to live my life. And, you know, one of the chapters I put in my new book is this whole thing about, well, where's the divide between secular and spiritual? Well, let me tell you, there ain't a divide between secular and spiritual. I only have one life. You know, I don't have part of my life as a father, part of my life as an accountant, part of my life as a husband, part of my life as a Father Heart Ministries teacher. And I sort of transfer from one box to the other depending on what I'm doing. I don't have four lives. I have one life. And, you know, I'm not talking about just learning to live freely and lightly in my Christian box. I'm talking about learning to live freely and lightly in the whole of our lives. Whether we're a husband, a wife, a father, a mother, a brother, a sister, an accountant, a nurse, a teacher, a shop worker, a homemaker, whatever. It actually doesn't matter. Because what Father is talking about is that he wants the whole of our lives to be lived freely and lightly as we learn to live in the unforced rhythms of grace. You know, there is no such thing as a division between the secular and the spiritual. And if people try and tell you there is, they're wrong. Because you've only got one life. You've only got one heart. You know, it's not divided into compartments. It's just who, it's just, you know, there's just Tony. And there's Tony, and that's it. Yeah. He is more interested in you than in all of your activity. He is more interested in spending time with you than he is with all of the things you do for him. He is more interested in just sitting by the river with you and you enjoying his presence and just saying, oh, this is so good. Mind you, it's not difficult to hear the Father speak when you sit by the River Nile in Uganda. It's so beautiful. Yeah, he is interested in intimacy with us. And sadly, we've been conditioned to think that our activity wins his heart. And it really doesn't. He just loves you because he loves you because he loves you. Because you're his daughter or his son. And he wants us to live like Jesus was saying in Matthew 11. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me, work with me, watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. He really wants us to rely on his love. In John 1 John chapter 4, it says we can know and we can rely on the love that he has for us. Those words know and rely, they are experiential words. They're not words that speak to our mind. We don't have knowledge. You know, that knowing God loves me up here doesn't change me. But what John is writing is saying, we can know in our hearts and we can rely in our hearts on the love that the Father has for us. And it's like we can just go, yes, it's all okay. We can rest in that place of contentedness with him. We know that he loves us because we've experienced him loving us. And the more we go on, the more we experience him loving us, the more we can rely on him. And the more we rely on him, the more we experience him. And so it goes on, just ever increasingly going deeper and deeper and deeper in the love of the Father. The Father loves us in exactly the same way. With exactly the same intensity of passion as he loves his son Jesus. Full stop. End of. You know, it's not dependent on anything we do or how we behave. It's just how it is. That he loves us with the same endless love as he loves Jesus. And today, he gives us an invitation. It's to come with a childlike heart, to allow the Father to pick us up and carry us all the way, every day of our lives. Recognizing that our weakness is the key to his power being released. As we allow ourselves to be carried, we recognize our own weakness. We recognize that we can do nothing on our own, but that we rely totally on him. That's what Jesus modeled. That's what his life was like. He really is all we need. The hurts, the unforgiveness, the guilt, the condemnation, the pain, the brokenness, the emptiness, the dryness, the barrenness, the desolation, the frustration of our own inadequacies, the fed up of trying and never hitting the mark. We can let all of those things go. One of the struggles I really think many of us have had is that too often church has ruined us. And other people have put expectations on us, either for our behavior or our character. To be honest, I've got fed up of going to courses, you know, 7 ways to have a good marriage. You know, 10 ways to bring up your kids. You know, 5 ways to manage your money. I've done all of those. And I don't actually think anything changed much. But when we live in love and dependency on our Father, things change. And things change permanently. And too often, you know, church may have ruined us. We may have had driven managerial leadership. We may have missed out on the comfort and the nurture and the tenderness. I hope this week we've seen that actually those people that have wounded us are wounded themselves. And they've got their own issues and their own stuff. And if we can be like the king in that story in Matthew 11, that we can look on them with compassion and pity and sorrow, that will change our hearts towards them. Because, you know, at the end of the day, they can't help it because they're doing their best. I've never met a pastor who deliberately wanted to hurt people in his congregation. You know, that's just not, they're not like that. But they live out of their own brokenness and their own woundedness. And if we can see them with compassion and pity, it will change our heart towards them. And it might be the beginning of leading them on a path to find their own freedom. Because you'll just start loving them. And that love transforms people's lives. He really is all we need. Come and let him carry you. This is what Paul said. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. You know, Paul says, this is such a key, I'm going to start boasting about how weak I am. And it's like, you know, Paul is going to, you know, the thing that he's going to tell people about is his dependency on the Father. That I can't do it, but I know someone who can. And he just happens to be Almighty God, my Father. I want to show you a little video just before we finish this session. Some of you may have seen it before. Who did all the work? You know, that's what it's like, folks. We really can't do anything on our own. But we can rest in our Father and He'll do all the work for us. Every time I see that, it gets me. Father, we thank you for this week. We thank you that you are so amazing, that you really are so wonderful. Father, thank you that you've opened the eyes of our heart to see your great love. Thank you, Father. Father, thank you that we are your sons and daughters. Thank you that you love us with the same endless love as you love Jesus. And Father, just help us to see that when we give our lives totally to you in a life of rest, and trust and dependence, that Father, what you will do in us and through us as we just follow what you're doing will be so amazing. This is what the world needs. It's a transforming power of love. And Father, may it begin in our own hearts. That the transforming power of your great love that you lavish so freely upon us, Father, will begin to transform our hearts. Father, we thank you that you heal our hearts. We thank you that you mend the broken places, the wounds in our hearts you heal, Father. We thank you for all of that. And how, as wonderful as that is, Father, it's not the point of coming to this revelation of your love. Because the point is to know your love, that we are sons and daughters just like Jesus was your son. And so, Father, we just give our hearts to you today. Father, your love will go on transforming and transforming and transforming us. And Father, that when we go back to our homes and our families and our churches, people won't recognize us because of what you've done in our hearts. Thank you, Father. Amen.